Good morning. What a beautiful morning. What a beautiful song. Saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Doesn't get any better than that. With all that's going on in this world today, every time you turn on the news, it's something. It's good, it's bad, it's lies, it's truth. But the truth that will always remain is the truth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us say a prayer this morning before we get started. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you for these balloons that filled your sky. Father, we just thank you for all the goodness that you've given us. Father, we pray that you be with this service today. Be with all who have a part. Father, be with the choir. Be with the pastor. Lord, be with the Sunday school teachers. And Father, again, to you, all glory is given. Father, just guide and direct us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you ever really get tired of the news sometimes? I mean, I do. You don't know which way to turn. Well, there's one that says no. But it's true. I mean, you turn it on, and I'm not smart enough to stay up with everything that's happening. The one constant in my life, and I pray that it is the one constant in your life, is the Holy Bible. That's truth. Everything else is fabricated, a little bit of this and a little bit of that. There's not a word in here that is not truthful. There's not a word in here that's not going to be fulfilled. And we have the proof. And these are fast-moving times that we're living in. You know, with the internet, it's just amazing. Used to be you'd have to go home and you'd have to research, even schoolwork. You know, how many remembers the encyclopedias? Yeah. Now it's just a click, and you've got Wikipedia, you've got whatever you want that you can find. And along with that, there's truth and untruth, lies. Everything's just filtered in, and you can't hardly keep up with it. And with all that's happening in the world, and even more so in these United States and even our friends in Israel, what I want to look at just briefly this morning, and there is a bunch, and I'll give you some scriptures this morning that you can take home and look up. But what does the Bible really teach us and tell us for us as Christians to watch for? In the news, like I said, daily, we're flooded with truth and untruth. And if we don't read our Bibles, and I'm talking, don't just pick it up when you have a question. Pick it up daily and just flood your soul with the words of God. That's what it was meant to do. Because since the beginning, the devil is the great deceiver. And if you look how long he's had to practice his deceptions, he's getting pretty good at it. And do not fall into the trap that he sets. Do not be deceived, because there is so much that will trip up even the strongest Christian. And I've talked about this before. If you think on your own that you can go up against Satan and his demons, folks, you're fooling yourself. He will chew you up and spit you out. Don't try it. You know, when you're confronted with evil, turn to the Bible. Rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan can't take that. The Lord's already defeated him, and he knows it. So don't try to fight Satan by yourself. The best thing to do is surround yourself with fellow brothers and sisters in a church meeting. There's strength in numbers when it comes to that. But most importantly, cling with all your might to Jesus Christ, and he will guide you and lead you. If we don't read our Bibles on a daily basis, if we don't gather church services when the doors are open, folks, here's a newsflash for you. You will be deceived. You can be drawn into the trap of Satan. Now, I didn't say anything about losing your salvation. Once saved, always saved. I believe that with all my heart. If not, Jesus would have to go back to that cross and endure what he endured already. And that's not going to happen. Once you put your trust in Jesus Christ, follow him with everything you have. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to live every day the way that is a perfect day. No, you're going to stub your toe. And you're going to have good days and bad days. It's just the way life is. But there is coming a day. And a lot of people think because of what's going on in the world that it's close. But what we're going to take a look at this morning is what the Bible actually says about what to watch for. Jesus said in Luke 21, verses 8 and 9, "See that you are not led astray." Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ telling us this. This is not something that this old sinner saved by grace is standing up here and say, you better be careful. This is the words of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Do not fall into this trap, because Satan is out there. He's wandering around like a lion, and he's just waiting to just tear you to pieces. And yes, pain, no matter whether you're saved or not, pain hurts. It does. It's painful. You know, you get a thorn in your side. We had a work day yesterday. Some of the guys got thorns in their fingers, and it hurt. You could hear the ouch, ooh, ouch, oh. You know what it was? It was them there goat heads. I got to tell you this quickly before we go. When I first moved out here, I heard people talking about goat heads. And I thought, what have I moved into? Some type of satanic ritual out here with these goat heads? And then I was introduced to one. Ouch! I'm telling you, they're not good. Everything in this desert is strong. And they'll stab you, they'll stick you, they'll scratch you, they'll bite you. Goat heads. Let me read again what Jesus says. "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he.' And the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults," which is a disorderly agitation or confusion, and boy, is there a bunch of that on today, "do not be terrified." Don't let your soul worry about things like this. You can't control it anyway. There's nothing you can do. "For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once. The earth is groaning daily." It groans with the anticipation of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should too. We should look forward to that day. Now, granted, there's things for us to do, and the Lord has already figured out our path, what we're going to do, because we've called upon his name to be saved by the grace and the blood of Jesus Christ. So there's things that we ought to do. But most of all, we should not be distracted by the ways of this world, because it is full of distractions. Isaiah 5:20 says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter." It's amazing. I saw something on the computer, and this may offend people, and I don't really care because it's scriptural. How can people vote on Tuesday for the killing of children and on Sunday come to the church building and praise the Lord? Folks, it's not, it doesn't go together. I don't care whose choice it is. What about the choice of the little baby Who's going to worry about that? You know, we talk about how good and how great we are as a people, and we are still the greatest country man has ever known. But we rank right there with those who sacrifice their children to Baal. We go to these hospitals and we have an abortion because it's convenient. It's not convenient. It's not convenient for that little soul. But the thing that I am comforted with is that all these little babies that are aborted, King David showed us and told us how that's going to work out. We're going to see these little babies again in heaven. King David says, I can't go to him, or I can't bring him back. He said, I can't bring him back to me, but I can go to him, is what he said. There's coming a day for all born-again believers in Jesus Christ that we're going to meet in heaven. We're going to have a reunion that our minds can't even comprehend. And all these little babies that have gone by the way of abortion, we're going to see them. And it's going to be wonderful. 2 Timothy 4, 3 and 4 says this. And I believe with all my heart we're here. We're living these days right now. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching. But having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit our own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I thank the Lord every day for this family, our pastor, his wife, this church full of this people that understand what truth is, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. The pastor from this pulpit preaches the word straight from the Bible. There is no deception. There is no thus saith me. It's always thus saith the Lord. And he backs it up with scriptural truth. Folks, turn on the TV and you'll see TV evangelists. They're called something. I don't know what they're called. But there's falsehoods. I've watched people stand in a pulpit to bring a message. Never open the Word of God. Never open it. Thus saith me, they say. And there's followings. Hundreds and thousands of people who follow these folks. And it's a falsehood. I go back to this time, this trip that we took to Salt Lake City, Utah, to go out to evangelize to the Mormons, to the lost. Don't you think for a moment that they're not lost. It's the same with the majority of people in Israel. They're lost. They're God's chosen people, but so am I. But they're lost because they have never accepted Jesus Christ for who he truly is. It's all around us. It's in America. It's across the oceans. It's around the world. False teachings. And it's growing. Pastor and I had a discussion one day. When Jesus Christ was crucified, there was about 15 to 20% of the Jewish people that followed him. And they were persecuted, some even unto death. Today, that number's around 1% of the followers of Jesus Christ in Israel. Pray for Israel. God's got them. Believe that. But pray for their salvation because they're in need of Jesus Christ. And there's coming a day when they will truly recognize that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is. Before I give a biblical answer, let us look at the happenings in Israel today. Every time there is a conflict, and There's one right now with Israel. Many see it as a sign of the quickly approaching end times. The problem with this is that here's Satan. Here's how deceitful he truly is. We may eventually tire of the conflict in Israel. There's people already. Oh, will they just stop? Will they just get on with life? Conflict has been a reality with Israel since it has existed as a nation and before. Whether it was the Egyptians, what a study, huh? Exodus, that's been good. Whether it was the Amalekites or the Midianites, the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Philistines, the Assyrians, the Babylonians, the Persians, or the Romans. The nation of Israel has always been persecuted by its neighbor. Why is this? Because they're God's chosen people, and they were a stiff-necked, I'm going to do it my way instead of doing it God's way. That's what happened. And it's still going on today. According to the Bible, it is because God has a special plan for Israel. And Satan, the great deceiver, wants to defeat that plan. He's going to do everything he can to take as many of the unsaved with him to destruction that he can. That's his plan. Satanically influenced hatred of Israel, and especially Israel's God, our Father, is the reason Israel's neighbors have always wanted to see Israel destroyed. Whether it was Sennacherib, whether he was the king of Assyria, or Haman. Remember old Haman? Remember the book of Esther and how he devised this great plan that he was going to get rid of all the Jews? Didn't happen. How about Hitler? I can remember my grandmother talking that they really believed that he was the Antichrist. Now believe me, he was Antichrist. He was anti-people, he was anti-Jew, he was anti a lot of things. But he wasn't the end of the world. Now granted, there was a lot of people that were killed innocently. A lot of people gave their lives for freedom. There was a lot of people that died because of Hitler. But it shouldn't surprise people. How about Rouhani? He was the last president of Iran. Now they have a new guy. Khamenei, I think his name, Ali Khamenei. He's the supreme leader. He's now taken up the torch to put an end to Israel, to drive him into the sea, he thinks. Attempts to completely destroy Israel will not succeed. Let me say that again. Will not succeed. It will not happen because God has said that it would not happen. The persecutors of Israel will come and go. We've seen it. I've seen it in my time, you know. But the persecution will remain until the second coming of Jesus Christ. We sang about a song this morning about Jesus is coming. He's coming again. It's a promise. It's in the book. He's coming. As a result, conflict in Israel is not a reliable indicator of what's to come. or that it is imminent. Now, granted, there's a lot of things going to happen in Israel. But just because Israel gets into a fight, a lot of people today think that, oh, we're close. And I wonder sometimes, you know, just how close we really truly are to the second coming of Jesus Christ. I can tell you this with assurance. As I stand here before you, I'm going to make a prediction. Hold on to your hats. We're one day closer than what we were yesterday. Okay? That is a fact. That's as deep as I can go. No person knows. It's spelled out in the Bible how it will come about. My point to this is, there's so many things that we as Christians should be doing that when we allow Satan to distract us or deceive us, then it pulls us away from the plan that we should be doing. And here's the plan: taking the good news of Jesus Christ to every creature. Our friends, our neighbors, maybe somebody that lives across the street that you've never met. How about family? Families are tough. They're tough. Put on the best you can do by allowing Jesus Christ to shine through you. Because there's members in my family that the only Jesus that they may come in close contact with is the light that I allow to shine for me, not by my goodness or my own person, but by the Holy Spirit that dwells within me, to bite my tongue when I need to say something in self, but I say the good things of Jesus in love. It'll go a long way. It'll go a long way. But if we're distracted by worrying about the political climate, and trust me, I have these concerns too. But the Bible's very clear. God will put in the leaders. Now here's the hard part that we deserve. Now you ponder on that for a little bit. I've seen a lot of leaders I wouldn't let watch my puppy. And they're running this country. But don't worry about that. The sun's going to come up tomorrow. We're going to go on with life unless the Lord calls us home. Do the best you can while you're here to be what God wants you to be. And that is someone who proclaims the name of Jesus Christ. The end will come soon enough. It'll come either by the Lord calling us personally home or as a group. What a day that'll be. Mm-mm-mm. And there is right now much turmoil in Israel. I mean, turn on the news. You know, the thoughts of missiles raining down, of bullets flying around. Read the news of Albuquerque. Read the news of Chicago. Read the news of Los Angeles. There's bullets flying every day, every night. Don't concern yourselves with things that you cannot control. The things that you can control is how you live your life for Jesus Christ. You've got Syria. You've got Lebanon. You've got Jordan, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Iraq. Not so much anymore, but still there. You've got Hamas. You've got the Islamic Jihad. You've got Hezbollah. But this hatred and persecution of Israel is only a hint of what will happen in the end times. Let me turn to Matthew. Now listen, the pastor's going to teach on Matthew but I'm going to read a couple verses from Matthew. It's not to contradict. It's not to be, well, he said this or he said that. No, it's the Word of God. I'm not standing up here saying or changing Scripture. I'm going to read to you what Scripture says. And I'm going to do the same thing to Deuteronomy. There's a verse in Deuteronomy that is fantastic. And our brother is giving us a wonderful walk through Deuteronomy. And it's not to say, this is this and this is that. No, it's the Word of God. But it's the Word of God, and I'm going to read it. Let's turn to, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. And I'm going to read 15 through 21. Matthew 24. Now, this is the Lord Jesus Christ talking about things to come. Because people were thinking that, man, the end time is at hand. When the only thing that was at hand was that God loved us so much that He gave His Son, Jesus Christ, so that the sin penalty could be finally paid in full. Matthew 24, and I'm going to read from starting with verse 15. The Bible says this, and I'm going to read out of the King James, the Scofield, but listen, I've said this before, I don't care what version you have, just read it. Words change a little bit, but the message is the same. The Bible says this, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them who are in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of the house. Neither let him who is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto those who are with child, and to those who nurse children in those days. But pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day." Goes on to say in verse 21, "For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be." Right now is not the end of the world. There's just things going on in this world that Satan is stirring up. But what Christ is telling us, when it comes, it's going to come. And it's going to come like a thief in the night. So don't be distracted by the ways of the world and the things that are going on. Because it is just that. It's just a distraction. The latest round of persecution began when Israel was made a nation in 1948. Many Bible prophecy scholars believe the Six-Day Arab War. In 1967 was the beginning of the end. I can remember that. Now, I was just a kid in school, but I can remember that war. Being on CBS, NBC, ABC, that's all you had was the network news. But I can still remember it. And it went right along with the conflict in Vietnam that we were embroiled in. I can remember that. And everybody was like, my grandmother, what a sweet lady she was. Honey, you better hold on. This could be the end. She prayed for the entire family. Some she didn't get to see bow the knee, but some she did. Could what is taking place in Israel today indicate that the end is near? Yeah, it could, but it may not be. They've been in conflict with neighbors forever. Does it necessarily mean the end is near? No, it doesn't mean that. Jesus himself said it best. Watch out that no one deceives you. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars, but see to it that you are not alarmed. Such thing must happen, but the end is still to come. That's in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 6. So how do we keep these things straight? Hebrews 10, 23 through 25 tells us this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised, Jesus Christ himself is who promised, is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Like I said, all I can guarantee you is that we're one day closer than what we were yesterday. But that does not mean that we need to let our guard down and quit going to church. You need to encourage your family to come to church. Not all of my family members are saved. It's a burden on my heart. But that doesn't keep me daily from praying for them. It doesn't keep me from praying daily for you all who are my brothers and sisters in Christ. It does not keep me from praying for your families. We should do that. We should draw closer together as Satan tries to distract us. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. You should read that. Read it again and again and again because it is encouragement. Let us hold fast. Let us press on to the calling of Jesus Christ. It's important in these days. In closing, in this room, as parents, as grandparents, as aunts, as uncles, as neighbors, brothers and sisters, what should we do? Deuteronomy 6, 5 and 7 tells us this. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Talk about the Lord. Don't go out and, I'm not telling you this, to go out and just bust people upside the head. This is America. People does have a choice. But do it in love. You got an excellent opportunity. The Thanksgiving table. Whew. Man, there's been some houses built, houses tore down, world problems solved, sitting around the Thanksgiving dinner table. But let people see that you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that there's something different about you. Don't be overbearing. Don't take it upon yourself to be the judge and the jury. Take it upon yourself to tell your own personal testimony, to live your personal testimony. People will see it and take notice. And it'll do more than any double-edged sword that you could carve the turkey with. It's how you present your life. It's how you present yourself. Who knows you best? Your family. Does your heart ache? Absolutely. If it doesn't hurt for your family, you need a thicker prayer rug. But you don't have to beat people up over it. You just remind them. Just be what God wants you to be. And it'll allow the Holy Spirit to work right around that table. It may take many times around that table, but be one who shows love. In closing, I want to read you this. If nothing else, 2 Peter. Turn over to 2 Peter. I guess the biggest thing I want you to take away from this is there going to be trials and troubles in the world? Yes. Don't be distracted. God's got a plan, and it will be to His plan entirely. Nothing we can do, nothing we can interject. It won't be the next president of the United States. God has a plan, and it's His plan. And we've said it before. Why? Because He's God and we're not. His plan will work out. Let me read this to you. 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10. And I'll read and close out. 2 Peter 3, starting with verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also, and the works that are in it shall be burned up. That's global warming, folks. Don't be distracted. Don't let the world distract you. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, in which the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to His promise, look for the new heavens and a new earth in which dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of Him in peace, without spot, and blameless. Verse 15 says, an account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing that ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall into your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Press on. Don't be distracted. Life is going to go on, but the Lord has a plan. Amen. Let us pray. Father, thank You for these words. Lord, let our hearts truly understand and know that You are God and that You have a plan for each one of us. Father, if there be anyone here that doesn't know You, that today be the day of salvation. Maybe this is why He's holding back the wrath that is yet to come for that one unsaved person. Lord, allow us to be bold. Allow us to share the good news. Lord, not in our own boastful ways, but in the ways of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with our pastor today. Be with each and every person that has a part. Father, again, thank You for all things. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. Brother Don will be back next week. He'd be teaching again in Deuteronomy. I'm about ready to strap back into my rocket seat. Amen.